listening to System Kids on CKUW 95.9 FM, bringing the issues of youth in and from care, from their lives to your minds.
Good evening. How are you doing? My name is Marie. I'm here with Faith, and we're here to bring you System Kids, the experiences and the opinions of young people in and from Manitoba's child welfare system. We just want to help you know what it's like to live on this side of the this side of the file.
You like it, Renee? Marie, and now I'm saying names wrong.
Hey, what day is it today? It's Tuesday.
But it's 1 week from holidays. That is why.
Yes. I keep thinking it's Friday. I think I'm just excited.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yes, you're listening to System Kids on CKUW 95.9 FM. Like I said, my name is Marie, and this is Faith, and we are volunteers for Voices, Manitoba's Youth and Care Network, which works with young people ages 12-ish to 30-ish in and from care throughout our province. If you want to get a hold of them, they are at 3rd floor, 61 Juno Street, right here in Winnipeg. You can reach them by phone, 204-982-4956, or by toll-free anywhere in MB, 1-866-982-4956, or by email, of course, ask@voices.mb.ca. That's ask@voices.mb.ca. If you're on the socials, you can find them on Facebook, on Instagram, and on X. Just look up Voices MYICN or Voices MB.
And that takes us to our icebreaker, and we would love to hear from you guys too if you want to let us know what your thoughts are. Today's icebreaker is, what is your favorite holiday guilty pleasure?
Ooh. You know what, for the last, at least the last four holiday seasons, I have rewatched the whole Marvel series, like Iron Man, all the videos. I don't remember even all the characters' names, but because the first year, it was probably during COVID, the first year I was sick, so that was like really all I had the strength for. And then just, I don't know, I guess it just became part of my psyche where I'm like, oh, you know, it's that time of year again.
Time to enter the Marvel universe.
I miss Iron Man. I need to see what he's up to. So yeah, that's my favorite little pleasure activity over the holiday season, just watching the whole Marvel universe series. And I was so thankful to find something online that lists it in chronological order, because if you just watch the Iron Man and then you watch Captain America and then you watch,
The other one,
Scarlett Johansson's, like, you're like, wait, hold on, why is that happening? What? Where? Mm-hmm. So look online, you can find like a chronological outline, which movie to watch first, and then it all clicks.
It'll all make sense. Mm-hmm. Well, I wouldn't say this is so much as a guilty pleasure, but maybe a little bit. During the holidays, even like a few weeks before, really just when it starts getting dark outside early, I don't go to the gym, and I would say that's a guilty pleasure. I feel good when I go to the gym. So when I don't, I feel bad about it. But even yesterday, I was driving home from work. I worked late, driving home at around 7, so determined, I'm going to go to the gym. Well, I ended up going to my boyfriend's place, actually, and I was calling him. I'm like, okay, I'm going to come over. I'm going to get my gym stuff ready, and then I'm going to go to the gym. He's like, okay. I come over, start unpacking, we're talking, take out my gym bag, look at my clothes, and I go, I don't think I'm going to go to the gym.
Uh-oh.
And of course he's supportive. He's like, you need to take time off. It's all good. But yeah, it's just so hard. Like once the snow hits and then it's dark outside, it's like, no, I just want to curl up and watch a movie.
Yeah. Especially when it's so snowy like it has been for the last couple days.
Oh, and just so cold.
Yeah.
It was so cold the other days.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you really, really need to get your sweat on, then at least for a couple minutes, you can run in place or run up and down your stairs.
That's
or something.
Right. Or just shovel. Oh, that's a great workout, really.
It's swearing. It's terrible.
Full body, too.
Yes, that is a full body workout.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. Well, yeah, if you want to tell us what your favorite holiday activity or your favorite holiday guilty pleasure might be, send us an email, ask@voices.mb.ca. We'd love to hear how you spend your time.
Yeah.
So what's happening on the Voices calendar this month? This month.
The Voices leadership team? Mm-hmm. Am I looking at the round? Okay. So the leadership team meets Wednesdays from 4:30 to 6:30, October to June. It is open to young people in and from care ages 14 to 24 who want to learn or practice different ways to be a leader. They have a few projects on the go right now. Meetings are in person or virtual, depending on the weather. New members are welcome in January. Call Lynn at Voices for more info, and that would just be the 204-982-4956 number.
Yes.
And we got the Manitoba Moose tickets. So we have 4 tickets to the December 20th game versus Rockford Ice Hogs. The draw for those tickets will be Wednesday or Thursday this week. And we have the 18th Annual Voices Family Christmas Party. This will be held Wednesday, December 25th, and is open to children, youth, young adults, and older alumni of care who call Voices their family of choice for the holidays. Reach out. That will be a great Christmas party. I heard Lynn brings pickles.
We don't usually bring pickles to that one because the hotel takes care of, but we bring pickles everywhere else.
Oh, so the other party is with the pickles, but it'll be great regardless. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So make sure to RSVP today, Tuesday, December 17th, so that the team can ensure everyone leaves with tummies full of good food and arms full of fun gifts. Special thanks to members of our village who have already started pouring in support, like Mr. Mike's and their tree of wishes, and private individuals who contribute in different ways. Your care and support is so appreciated. And lastly, we got the employment and income assistance pickup locations. Well, so the Canada Post strike was actually lifted today, correct?
Yeah. Did anyone get mail?
Not that I'm aware of. Yeah. I've just been hearing. But I believe they will be quite backlogged. Mm-hmm. So lifted today, but we'll say as it continues for now. You can confirm the pickup location for your employment and income assistance or Manitoba supports for person with disability benefits between 8:30 to 4:30 p.m. Call your workers directly or call the services center EIA 204-948-2888 or MSPD 204-948-6773.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know it's kind of a mixed bag on the return to work for Canada Post workers. I know how much it sucks to feel like you're not being heard, but I hope with time a resolution can be found. So thank you for all of those Canada Post workers who are returning to work. I know it's going to be a big job getting caught up over the next couple weeks. So thank you.
Yes, thank you. It's not an easy thing to go on strike at all. It's appreciated that we're going to have services now to get our mail delivered. But yeah, definitely acknowledge that none of that process was fun or easy.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So that takes us to the rights highlight. We're going to go over Article 7 of the United Nations Conventions on the Rights of the Child, Children with Disabilities. State parties shall take necessary measures to ensure the full enjoyment by children with disabilities of all human rights and fundamental freedoms on an equal basis with other children. Article 7 of the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People goes, Indigenous individuals have the right to life, physical and mental integrity, liberty, and security of person. Why are these rights important? How do they impact youth in care? A child with disabilities has the right to receive as much care as any other child, as well as additional care and support to make sure they are able to grow and develop to their best potential. Indigenous children and youth in care, particularly those with disabilities, have the right to their life, to give free and informed consent in regards to decisions affecting their lives, to be free to make choices, and to be and feel in charge of their own bodies. Let's remember that rights are always interconnected, and remember your 4 B's. You have the right to be healthy, be safe, be heard, and be yourself.
Mm-hmm. And with that, we will take our first musical break of the show. We are going to listen to Eagle and Hawk and the song Sundancer. Is this another Manitoba favorite?
It is. I did research. I haven't seen them live, but I do love the band. So, yeah.
All right. You're listening to System Kids here on CKW 95.9 FM.
Carry
You're listening to System Kids on CKUW 95.9 FM. My name is Marie, and I'm here with Faith, and we are glad to bring to you the perspective of young people living in and from care throughout the province of Manitoba. And if you are a young person in or from care, hey.
Hello.
We're just glad to be spending some time with you this evening. Mm-hmm. So next up, we have our community connection, and this is just where we talk about a resource that is available to children and youth in and from our province, specifically those in and from care, and the allies, the adults who support them, that you can access. So today's resource is Manitoba Advocate for Children and Youth. They are located, they have like three offices. They have two in Winnipeg and one up in Thompson. But the main head office is located at Unit 1, 346 Portage Avenue. It's kind of right across the street from APTN, or like diagonal from Portage Place. Their phone number is 204-988-7440, or toll-free anywhere in Manitoba, 1-800-263-7146. And they're open Monday to Friday, 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Now, I have to admit, I have a bias towards the Advocate's Office. That is where I got my start as a young person. I went in there to ask for help, and they did what they could to help me. And then they said, do you want to work here? We just got a youth outreach worker funding partnership with Save the Children Canada. Do you want to do this? And I was like, because it was all about going to group homes and talking to young people about their rights. And I was super shy. So I'm so thankful that they saw potential in me. And that definitely set me on the path that I'm on right now.
You're so perfect for that.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah. So the Advocate for Children and Youth Act states that it's the responsibility of the Manitoba Advocate to support, assist, inform, and advise children, young adults, and their families respecting designated services. Designated services include child welfare, adoption, disabilities, education, mental health, addictions, victim supports, and justice. What is an advocate? Well, at Voices, we say an advocate is someone who will stand either behind you, beside you, or in front of you to help you make your voice heard. Mm-hmm. But at the Advocate Office, it says an advocate is a knowledgeable professional who listens to the voices, opinions, and experiences of young people in order to amplify their voices and promote their rights and best interests. An advocate works with and on behalf of young people to address concerns and to ensure public systems are responding to their needs. When you call Macy, someone from the advocacy team will speak with you. Your conversations with them are confidential, which means they will not tell anyone you have contacted them unless you give them permission to tell the people involved. They're going to ask you questions like, what do you need help with? And what have you tried so far? And how do you want us to help? Macy serves children and youth up to the age of 21 and folks on their agreements with young adults or supports for young adults grants, basically extensions of care. You can call them with questions, and the advocacy officer who's assigned to you will determine the support that Macy can offer. So it's ideal if a young person calls on their own, but adults, supports, parents, caregivers, if you have a concern about a young person that you're working with or that you care about, you can call as well. But again, if you can help support that young person to make the call, the response is just a little bit faster.
Yes. Yeah. So it's not if you're over the age of 21 that don't call them. That's not the case. If you are older and you have a question, just give them a call and see what they can help you with. Don't think that it's not offered to you. However, the supports that they may offer may look a little bit different if you are over the age of 21.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's particularly because, thankfully, in Manitoba, there is growing recognition that, especially for young people who are in and from care, you don't stop needing support Mm-mm. at 18 or at 21. And it's good that the Advocate's Office can support you right until your extension of care, your AYA, or your supports for young adults grant, right until that has expired.
Absolutely. And it's just such a great resource just to educate yourself on the system itself, on your rights. I'm sure everyone has lots of questions about, you know, being in care. I was just telling Marie earlier, I wish I would have known about this mm-hmm. when I was younger. But I grew up in a country placement, so we didn't hear much about these resources. But this is a really great one. They're very helpful. And yeah, like I said, just it's always good to educate yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I know it can be tough to call. Like, you might be going through something in your home and you're feeling like you want to call, but it feels too risky. So would you have any advice for that young person or that child?
Definitely reach out to someone that you trust and have them make the call for you, and you can have your points relayed or just have them with you while you're making the call yourself. I've always found that to be helpful. Phone calls can be so intimidating, right? Mm. And write out what your questions are in point form. Any points you want to make, any concerns, go into it organized. I'm sure whoever is on the other end of the call is going to be extremely supportive and understanding mm-hmm. that is what they're trained to do, right?
Mm-hmm. And if you are a young person who just has a real heart for social justice, you could consider joining their youth advisory committee, the YAS, Youth Ambassador Advisory Squad. The YAS meets every second Tuesday, and they assist the Manitoba Children's Advocate Office with projects, with research. They're doing their own research right now, their own research project. They raise awareness of issues and they help to find solutions. And they do projects. Like, if you see a bunch of murals around the city that have children's rights written over them, that is the YAS squad from Macy. So if that is something that you would like to get involved in, then do reach out to them again. And again, their number in Winnipeg is 204-988-7440.
Amazing. And that's going to take us into our child welfare in the news segment. So today we have an article found on Indigenous Watchdog, authored by CBC reporter Brett Foster, titled "Canada Can't Say When 140,000 Backlogged Cases Will Be Cleared at First Nations Children's Program." Canada doesn't know when 140,000 backlog requests will be cleared at the Jordan's Principal Program for First Nations kids, calling a legal order requiring swift action on it challenging to implement. The Canadian Human Rights Tribunal ruled on November 21st that Canada must immediately address the bureaucratic logjam, which the federal government has now confirmed includes 25,000 self-determined urgent applications for mm-hmm. First Nations kids in need. ISC is concerned that the timelines to address the backlog of Jordan's Principal requests could have unintended impacts on delivering critical services to First Nations children and families, and is not operationally feasible, wrote Dana Anderson, General Counsel at Justice Canada. Adding to the uncertainty, Canada's report landed just a day after the Assembly of First Nations, AFN, said it's in no position to consult on the issue and asked the tribunal to extend all timelines so they begin March 31st, 2025. The AFN cited recent chief's resolutions rejecting Ottawa's offer to settle the Child and Family Services component of the complaint for $47.8 billion, to be spent over 10 years on program reform. Cindy Blackstock, executive director of the First Nations Child and Family Caring Society, anticipated Canada's response and staunchly opposes it.
Mm-hmm.
"There's no excuse for any delays, and Canada is the offender in this situation," she said on Monday. "It is the one that's breaching the orders, and it should not be given any latitude to dictate the terms." Blackstock and the AFN filed the human rights complaint together in 2007, but they have since broken ranks on a few key issues. The Caring Society is very concerned about the AFN's request for a 3.5-month extension, she said. The Caring Society provided its formal position via letter to the tribunal on Monday, disagreeing with AFN's request and disputing AFN's characterization of the resolutions. AFN, I think, was directed by the chiefs and assembly last week to get its affairs in order to support the implementation of the resolution, said Blackstock. The backlog itself doubled in size countrywide over the last year, an increase revealed in Canada's report to the panel. The report said the volume of requests had surged by over 300% in the past 5 fiscal years.
Wow.
Kazemir said the backlog in BC stood at 2,000, which was true a year ago. According to the ISC report, the province's backlog today sits at nearly 11,000 requests.
Wow.
Yeah. In Ontario, the backlogged applications grew to 27,600 from around 11,000, while in Saskatchewan, the queue grew to nearly 30,600 requests from about 19,700 over the last year, the biggest of all regions, according to the report.
Well, that is frustrating, not surprising, the numbers, I should say, because in the role that I'm in now, I've been looking at child poverty across the country, and it is noted that, you know, Manitoba and Saskatchewan have the highest rates of child poverty. So it's not surprising that Saskatchewan had the highest rates of applications asking for help that are in backlog.
That's right. And just for anyone who may not know, Jordan's principal ensures First Nations children can access the products, services, and supports they need when they need them.
Mm-hmm.
So it is quite an important program, mm-hmm. Jordan's principal is. And yeah, it's just unfortunate to hear that that is such a backlog. And yeah, the 3-month extension, you know, that's going to backlog more, no? Like, I don't know. It's really too bad. But I must say, I am glad Cindy Blackstock is on this. She is advocating. We can have trust in her. She always does a great job.
Yeah, she has been, throughout my whole career, she has been unwavering in keeping Indigenous children and youth centered. And
oh, yeah,
like everything she does, I never worry about her integrity. And I know people are human, so slip-ups might happen, but until now, it's never been a question of her integrity or her focus.
No, absolutely not. She has done so much for child welfare, mm-hmm. over the years. Mm-hmm. Her heart's in it, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
So at least her voice is being heard in this particular matter.
Yeah, and for those of you who may not be familiar, Jordan's principal is named after a young Manitoban child, Jordan River Anderson, who was stuck in limbo between being in the hospital or being able to go home with his family. He was a high needs baby, and he would need a lot of support. And there was an ongoing debate about who would cover the cost of that support. Would the city, the province, well, not the city, but would the province or would the federal government, who's going to pay for this? And as a result of their ongoing debate, little Jordan passed away in the hospital instead of at home surrounded by his community. And from there, this Jordan's principle is to ensure that First Nations children and youth can receive the supports that they deserve, whether they're living here in the city or they're living in rural and reserve communities. So to think that there's 140,000 cases of children asking for help, of children asking for everything from action therapy to probably medical help to therapy, counseling, medication, braces.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
They're waiting. And probably situations getting worse because
of everything going on right now. Yeah, definitely. And, you know, 25,000 of those are self-determined urgent application.
Mm-hmm.
Applications for the First Nation kids in need. Like, mm-hmm. 25,000, that's a lot of people.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah, yeah, no. Hopefully, I'll definitely be watching this to see where this heads, but I'm hoping for the best.
Yeah, we can only hope for the best.
That's
and
right.
I definitely want to give a shout out to the service providers who are hoping for this to be resolved, because I know that there are, like, some of my classmates from my master's program, they are still providing therapeutic services. They're still, you know, offering counseling, even though they haven't been paid.
Yeah.
And their rent is due, but they're like, no, this child needs this support. We're not going to not offer them this support just because Canada can't get its poop in a group.
No, that's right. That's nice to hear that people are still putting the kids first.
Yeah.
You know, despite everything going on.
Yes. Okay, well, on that happy note, we're going to go to another song. You're listening to System Kids on CKUW 95.9 FM, and we are going to listen to Day After Day by a band called Inward Eye. Who are they?
I don't know. I just really like their band name, Inward Eye. But they are Manitoba-based. They're local, so we'll check it out.
Okay. Well, that was a nice pick-me-up. I love that energy. You're listening to System Kids here on CKUW 95.9 FM. My name is Marie. I'm here with Faith, and we are glad to dig into our main segment now. This month, we've been talking about grief, which might be really a weird topic to discuss around the holiday season, but the reality is, for a lot of young people in and from care, this is a time of year where a lot of emotions come up. A lot of loss, a lot of grieving, a lot of longing for what used to be or what they hoped would be. So we just want to take this time to acknowledge that your feelings are valid and grief is absolutely normal, and that you need to take your time to go through the different stages of grief. But if that time is starting to extend a little bit too long and you're feeling it a little bit too deep, that is always a sign that it is okay to ask for help, reach out for help.
Absolutely. Anytime you're in a stage of the grieving process, connecting yourself with people to support you is always going to help with every stage. And as we talk about some of the stages today, it's just important to keep in mind that grief is unique to everyone. It's like a fingerprint, and none of us are going to go through it the same. Some may go through it consecutively. Others may bounce around, stay in certain stages longer than others. Mm-hmm. There's no right way to go through the stages. It's common that people will go through these stages. But yes, it's you're not going to go one by one. It's okay if you stay in one longer than the other. And grieving is normal.
Mm-hmm.
Part three today is a deeper look at bargaining, depression, and acceptance. Last week, we went over denial and anger.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to start with the bargaining stage of grief. This was, I would say, the most interesting one to learn about, because you hear bargaining and you're like, what the heck does that mean? What does that mean with grieving? So basically, during the bargaining stage, people tend to negotiate with themselves or a higher power as a defense mechanism or pain management strategy. They may also harp on the past and get hung up on what they could have done differently as they try to reverse a loss. The bargaining stage is sometimes characterized by an individual's inability to maintain a grip on reality. Pleading or begging can also occur. When I thought of the bargaining stage, I thought of a relationship ending with one partner, maybe not ready for it to end or wanting it to end. So they naturally would go through a grieving process, and a question would be, well, if I had just loved them more, if I had done this, if I would have done that, maybe it could have worked out. And that sums up what the bargaining stage is. But we have to remember, the bargaining stage lives in our heads. It's not something that we can change objectively. We can't change what happened. It's okay to go through the bargaining stage. It's very normal. And I think there's a lot of learning that can actually come from the bargaining stage in the next relationship. Say, if that was the situation,
that's true.
Maybe the way you navigate it will be a little differently. All the stages are going to be helpful for development, even if they don't feel like it. You're going to learn something from it. The feelings are going to be uncomfortable, but just because something is uncomfortable doesn't mean it's not good for us. It usually means change is going to come, and the change can be positive.
Mm-hmm.
So when we are in pain, it's sometimes hard to accept that there's nothing we can do to change things. Bargaining is when we start to make deals. Sorry, one second. When we start to make deals, I'm just losing the page, with ourselves, or perhaps with God, if we're religious. We want to believe that if we act in particular ways, we feel better. It's also common to find ourselves going over and over things that happened in the past and asking a lot of what-if questions, wishing we could go back and change things in the hope things could have turned out differently. I've done this so many times in my life. And yeah, like I said, it's so good for learning. The step-by-step process, okay, I did this and then this thing happened, right? But there's also has to come an acceptance of the things that you cannot control.
Right.
Someone
else's decisions.
Exactly. Or like the loss of a loved one. A bargaining in that situation could be like, well, if we would have gone to the doctor some more, if I had just done this and that, and you know what, that's going to be an endless cycle of what if I had done that, right? And there comes a point, gotta accept I couldn't have done anything. This is how it happened, right? And a way I like to kind of think about it too sometimes is accepting that, you know, in every situation, the outcome is just simply the outcome. We can't go back and change the past. If you're deciding if you should get a job or not, and you choose the job, well, when you get the job, you'll be like, well, what would it have been like if I didn't take the job? Would my life have been better?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the reality is you did take the job. That is the only outcome. That is what the moment that you have to live in. That is the now experience. Mm-hmm. Some examples of bargaining in grief are offering to be a better person, to help others, or to make donations to deal with and manage the pain of loss, negotiating with fate, a higher power, God, or the universe, wishing for miracles to negate the loss, bargaining about the past and wondering if the loss wouldn't have happened if you did certain things differently. For instance, you may think, if I had stopped by his house that night, he would still be there. Or, I gave up on the relationship too quickly. If only I had tried harder, we would still be married. Those examples were from Dr. Romanoff. Bargaining is a normal and expected part of grief. However, it can become problematic when it leads to obsessive thinking, excessive rumination. Marie, would you like to explain what rumination means? You're so good with the words.
Rumination is when you just can't stop thinking about it. Like, mm-hmm. my sister is a ruminator, and you can tell we may have had a discussion in the, like, let's say 5 o'clock at night, and I think, okay, bye, hang up the phone. 6:30 in the morning. Okay, she's been thinking about it all night. So if you can't shake that thought from your mind, you're ruminating, you're stewing, you're staying in that cycle.
Because it's usually in the context of something negative,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, mm-hmm. you can ruminate in a positive way, maybe, or would that be a different word?
I'm not sure if it would be a different word, but definitely I feel like ruminating has that kind of, this is a downward spiral.
Yes, mm-hmm. okay. So excessive rumination and other feelings that create significant distress. Your experience of grief is moving from uncomplicated grief to complicated grief, which may require more support to cope with. Example, therapeutic supports.
Mm-hmm.
So it can become complicated grief if, like we just said, it becomes obsessive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really causing you a lot of internal distress that you wish you could have done something to change the situation, then it might be time to consider talk therapy, talk through it, get some validation mm-hmm. that, you know, what's happening is normal and you couldn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
So that is bargaining. I learned a lot from that one. Like I said, that is a very, very interesting stage to
mm-hmm.
explore.
Mm-hmm.
Murray, would you like to take us into the depression
stage? And I know this is such a tricky stage because you can feel depression even without loss. There are folks who have clinical depression and they require medication, and that is okay. So if you are ever wondering, is this depression situational or is this depression like physiological, hormonal, totally outside of my control? Please see a professional. Don't take my advice. See a professional and they will steer you in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
So depression, sadness and longing are what we think of most when we think about grief. This pain can be very intense and can come in waves over many months or years. Life can feel like it no longer holds any meaning, which can be very scary. I was looking online for just different resources, got this resource from cruise.org and from another site called verywellmind.com. They say many people may experience sadness and other symptoms of depression at any point in the grieving process, or may not experience them at all. This might be the stage you get to skip. Lucky you.
No kidding.
The duration, frequency, and intensity of your feelings and symptoms may also vary. Everyone reacts to loss differently. But these are some of the depressive thoughts and feelings you may experience while you're grieving. Feeling sad, empty, or numb. Feeling overwhelmed by the requirements of daily life. I've had those days where you're this is a stay in bed day, and not a happy stay in bed day with popcorn and books, but
no.
Yeah.
Just leave me be.
Yeah. I don't even want music. I just want the door closed, quiet.
Yeah.
Experiencing despair and hopelessness, sleeping or staying in bed all day,
mm-hmm.
crying often, experiencing a cascade of sadness with every reminder of the loss, thinking that others will not understand your loss, believing that your grief will overwhelm others, withdrawing from other people instead of letting them help you, feeling tired and low on energy. So they're all kind of signs and symptoms that you might be experiencing depression in your grief. And first of all, let me say from my own experience and from that list, it feels like depression's goal is to isolate you.
Mm-hmm.
So you're feeling alone. You're feeling like no one else would understand. And all you're doing is having these hurt, negative thoughts bouncing around in your head. And I just want to, you know, encourage you that if that's the stage of grief that you're in, here may be the hard work. reach out to someone.
Definitely.
Because you're not alone.
You are not alone. One of the hardest things that come with depression, too, is just the complete lack of motivation to do anything. Because often it's being motivated to do the things we enjoy that can get us out of our depression. Mm-hmm. But like Marie said, depression wants to keep you isolated. So never feel that you're unworthy or that no one's going to understand or not want to talk to you. When you're feeling that way is the most important time to talk to someone. As they say, when something scares us, that's usually what we're supposed to do, right? So if it's scary, intimidating to talk to somebody, that's totally understandable. But you might just need that extra push. You just might need to be heard. And depression is hard. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no one wants to be alone in those feelings.
And the my hope for you is that if you are struggling to find the energy to reach out to someone, and believe me, I've been there too, my hope for you is that there's someone who can reach into you.
That's right.
So don't turn them away when they do, okay? Like, let them give you a cup of tea, let them, like, you know, help you take a shower or wash your hair, let them help you come back to life.
Absolutely.
Well, let's take a musical break because depression is very heavy, and I think we could use the beautiful voice of this Leaf Rapids
author, musician. Leaf Rapids.
They were so good last week. Let's listen to another song, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about the final stage, acceptance.
Yay, a happy one.
Yeah. Here comes the sun. You're listening to System Kids on CKUW 95.9 FM.
You've gotta go, I'm coming with you. We'll cross the new divide. You are my mystery, future and history. I'm always on your side. I'm always on your side. True love's fate can see.
Thanks for sticking with us. You're listening to System Kids on CKUW 95.9 FM. That was Leaf Rapids, Citizen Alien. Such a great song.
What a great title, too. I just love the title.
Great title. Like, thanks for bringing all these Manitoba musicians to the show. Mm-hmm. It's been such a nice month. but for the rest of our time with you today, we're gonna wrap up our conversation about the five stages of grief. And for those of you who are keen, I want to hear you tell me, what were those five stages? Okay, say it really loud. I'm going to listen. Loud, a little bit louder.
Can't hear you.
Okay, yeah, you got it. Okay, you got those five stages of grief. Mm-hmm. Denial, anger, bargaining. What did we just talk
depression.
About?
Depression. It's the sad one. We don't want to remember
that. I want to let that one go. Mm-hmm. And here's the fifth stage, acceptance. So acceptance, and again, this is from cruise.org, a great resource I found online. Grief comes in waves, and it can feel like nothing will ever be right again. But gradually, most people find that the pain eases, and it's possible to accept what has happened. We may never get over the death of someone or the loss of something meaningful and significant, but we learn to live again and keep the memories of those we have lost close to us. It's important to remember that grief is a natural emotion that follows experiences of loss, any kind of loss. It takes time to heal, and although there are stages of grief, the process is not linear or time-bound. If you are going through a grieving period, here are some things you can do. And this is from another website called verywellmind.com. First thing, like we just talked about with depression, accept support. It's important to accept support from friends, family, colleagues, spiritual leaders, and others who have been very helpful in the past. Withdrawing from people makes feelings of depression worse. Right? We're made to be in community. And yes, our natural inclination when we're really hurt is to isolate ourselves. Like, even I remember taking first aid CPR, and when people start choking, their first instinct is to go alone somewhere to cough it out.
Which only puts you in danger. I heard of a story one time. I might have learned this when I was taking CPR too. Someone had been choking at a restaurant, and they went into the bathroom where no one could get them.
Right.
Don't do that.
Right?
No. Yeah. I understand. No one likes to choke, and it's a little embarrassing, I guess, but, like, want to save your life.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It might look a little embarrassing to be coughing, trying to get up something that's in your throat. It might feel a little embarrassing to cry your eyes out in front of someone. Mm-hmm. But if it's in front of someone you trust, it can be nothing but healing.
And let's use the word vulnerable, right? Mm-hmm. I know I use the word embarrassing, but I'm like, well, it's just vulnerable. It's hard to feel vulnerable, but it's okay to feel vulnerable. That's where healing can happen, right?
Yeah. And the same way that, you know, if you stay with your people when you're choking, someone can come up and either help you Heimlich maneuver it out. Mm-hmm. If you will stay with people you trust when you are going through this grieving process, if you stay connected to your community and to people that you trust and that you love, someone will be able to give you that emotional Heimlich maneuver. So don't isolate yourself. Accept support.
Yes.
Another tip they had was, don't avoid your emotions. Oh, boy. Now, especially for us folks in and from care, we've gotten good at being chameleons.
Practicing avoidance.
You know?
All the time.
We are not going to let anyone know how we feel. We need to be solid. We want to put on a good face for this foster home. We don't want them to know that we are carrying a burden. They know, by the way, they know. You know, so don't avoid your emotions. Be willing to give yourself the space to cry it out, to talk it out, to dance it out, to whatever you need to be able to process.
Yes.
Work on accepting all the emotions that come up. No feeling is right or wrong. Self-judgment, like, I shouldn't be feeling this way right now, can make feelings of depression worse or feelings of grief worse. Mm-hmm. You know, and we can all have those moments of feeling like our emotions are inappropriate. Like, there are those people who laugh at funerals. Mm-hmm. Depending on why they're laughing, it might be inappropriate, but sometimes it's just a release that you need.
A nervous response, right?
Yeah. So just feel it, acknowledge it. and let it pass. Perform a meaningful ritual. Rituals and routines can help you process and understand the loss. For instance, if you have lost a loved one, there are many ways to remember them and honor their life. Some people write letters to the person who has passed away or seek comfort in the traditions of their faith. I know my friend's mom passed away recently, and the mom's request was to have a private ceremony with just the children. Mm-hmm. And so the extended family were very upset, right? Mm-hmm. They're like, why couldn't we be there? And I think my friend told some of them anyway, like, I'm sorry, this was my mother's request. Yeah. But, you know, you can have a one-on-one time with her mm-hmm. in your own way.
Yeah.
You know, we don't want to make or invalidate your feelings for some kind of closure, but mm-hmm. you know, we had to respect our mom, so
respecting the boundaries.
Yes,
absolutely.
So you need to do what you need to do to take care of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So I think all of us, because sometimes there's just not there's not an immediately satisfying way to find closure
often. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, often that is the case. Yeah.
So you need to do what matters to you. Maybe it's going to the park and spending the afternoon on the same afternoon every year, like
mm-hmm.
whatever it is that will help you to feel like you're able to close that loop.
Mm-hmm.
You should definitely do that. And finally, seek help if you need it. So like we said, your grief can move from uncomplicated grief, completely natural, you lost something or someone, and feeling of grief is completely normal. But if that feeling of grief has now become complicated, it's lasting a long time, or it's getting really deep, that's the time where you need to seek additional help if you need it. If grief takes hold of your life, leaving no space for anything else, it may be helpful to seek professional support, because there are effective treatments available. And that doesn't just mean medication. So if that's what you're thinking and that's what you want to avoid, don't worry. There are other ways. But those other ways are only available to you through professionals who are trained to help walk you through it. Like we said last week, your friends really care and really love you and want the best for you, but their skills and abilities have a limit.
Absolutely. And acceptance is different than just letting it go. Mm-hmm. Often we can be told, just let it go. It's like, okay, well, and then what? It's not letting it go.
No.
It's just learning to live with your new life.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to go through the process of accepting what that is going to look like. Accepting is simply that, accepting the new life now.
Mm-hmm.
But remember, it's important to be in the now, anticipate the future, plan for the future, visit the past,
mm-hmm.
right? Living in the past is going to be a big reason we go through the stages of grief, and
mm-hmm.
it's necessary. But the acceptance stage, we're moving from living in the past, let's spend some time in the now. What is our life like now? We can all still live happy, beautiful lives, regardless of going through the natural human process
mm-hmm.
of grief.
My mom passed away when I was 10. So that was a very long time ago. I'm not going to tell you the number, but it was quite a few years ago. And while I don't feel that grief as acutely as I did when she initially passed, now I still feel that sense of grief or nostalgia, definitely around holidays like Mother's Day or around the day of her death. We feel it a lot. But in terms of rituals, I dedicate everything to her. So when I graduated, this is from my mom. Mom, look, one of your kids graduated. Look at that.
Mm.
You know, or every time I see the moon represents my mom. I even have her picture on my phone. You know, so you can find little ways to honor that person or that thing that you lost. And it'll be okay. It won't be easy, but it'll be okay.
It'll be okay.
So
right.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope that you got a lot out of this conversation. Next week and the week after, we are going to be sharing an interview with one of our alumni, Ingrid D. Johnson. And we hope that you get even more understanding about grief from what she shares.
Very excited for that one. All right. Well, we will see you guys next week. Bye. Thank you. Thank you.